fly away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, and Laura. The Harmony of the Seas is the newest Oasis-class ship from Royal Caribbean. She made her debut in Europe in 2016 and has made her way across the pond to port in Fort Lauderdale. Elizabeth was fortunate enough to enjoy a two-night cruise on the Harmony, so she's here to tell us what is different about this ship. Lots to discuss as always, so let's get started. So refresh our memories. What is the Oasis class, Elizabeth?
It's the biggins. It's the big ships. They are the biggest ships on the ocean, and in fact, the Harmony is apparently the biggest of them. They made it just a little bit larger. I believe the deal before was that the Allure was like 3 inches longer than the Oasis. So nobody told me how much bigger this was, but yeah, they had to outdo themselves, I guess. So the Harmony is officially the largest. And when I say the largest, it's really overwhelming how big this ship is. If you cruise a lot, you get really accustomed to how long it takes you to walk from the port side to the starboard side to get from the one row of cabins to the other, right? You know, like if your friends are staying in the cabins that are on the port side and you're on the starboard side, it's twice that far. And it's very strange because you come around the corner, like you're going to go through and that's when you remember, oh wait, this ship is twice as big. It's way far away. The whole middle of the ship, there's staterooms on both sides, full hallways. And then, so some people have balconies or windows looking out at the ocean. And then some people have balconies or windows looking into either Central Park or the boardwalk area. So basically these huge open air atriums, if you will, that are themed. And I actually, on this cruise, I had a balcony that was overlooking Central Park, which was cool because I'd never gotten to do that before. So a new experience. So yeah, literally twice as many cabins. Often over 7,000 people on these ships.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you said... Go ahead.
Which for me makes it even more important to use a travel agent.
Yes.
Because if you try and get rooms without a travel agent and don't think well about know the right questions to ask or how to do it, you can be very far away from your friends.
Yes.
And if you're going to go like pick them up for breakfast in the morning, you're walking and you're turning right, you're turning left, and you're going down hallways, and you're disoriented.
Yes, lots of good choices.
Is bigger better necessarily? So what? Tell me what are the plus sizes or what are the plus
the plus sizes?
what are the positives to being in a plus size ship?
I think I love plus size, but and I've full disclosure, I've been on the Allure before. So when I sailed on the Allure, I did it because I was skeptical of big ships. I thought, you know, if it's this big, you've probably got long lines. I mean, you've got all these people. But in fact, that was actually one of our best family vacations, not the best, Adventures by Disney, but but it was one of the best because there's so many things to do. And I think the only other cruise line that I feel super entertained on is Disney. Disney packs a whole lot into a smaller size ship. But with Royal Caribbean, you just have so much more variety. And in fact, you don't get really long lines. I mean, every now and then we had to stand in line for a slice of pizza or whatever, but it wasn't an inordinate amount of time. It wasn't like all 7,000 people were there at once. And they run all the shows several times. So, yes, the theaters are only so big and can't possibly hold everyone on the ship all at once, but they don't have to because, you know, Greece will show two nights of your 7-night cruise and it'll show twice each night. So you get 4 opportunities at least to see it. That's just an example, but you know, same with the ice shows and things like that.
I have a question about your cabin. So when you were,
I love the big ships too.
I'm sorry, what'd you say, Laura?
I was gonna say, I like the big, I sailed on the Oasis. And I like the big ships too, because that for me, it was, you could find nooks and crannies of quiet.
Yeah.
Real, you know, they had a lot of places where if you were not into the busy and you didn't come with kids and you really just brought five books that you wanted, you've been trying to read for 5 years, there were a lot of really, I fell in love with kind of the atrium area with the big round circle chairs where you could kind of watch out the back of the ship that was all circles, mm-hmm. you know, that was all glass. And so I love that about the big ship is that there were always places that were not crowded and were very quiet.
Mm-hmm. So for your cabin, looking over Central Park, did you feel like you were looking at the people on the other side a lot? Yeah.
So and it's funny because there are things that you do. I sail a lot, and I know you guys
do too. You walk
around
naked? And you're...
I don't walk around naked, but I do go out on my balcony.
Naked?
Not always. But I do go out on my balcony in my pajamas, and I couldn't do that on this ship because
in your negligee.
Yeah, or even your just pajamas because you are literally in your pajamas and you can't like reach out and touch the person across from you, but you're close enough that you can see the whites of their eyes. And, you know, I really liked being able to open my balcony. And first of all, I love the ocean anyway. I love being out on the water. So that's part of the experience for me anyway. But I was excited to have a Central Park view because Central Park is one of my quiet spots on these big ships. Even though there's lots of restaurants or whatever, people tend to be quiet there. They'll play cards or, you know, there's a bar, and then they're going to these various restaurants. So it's sort of more like a patio sort of cocktail area, and it can be pretty quiet, especially compared to the boardwalk or the promenade area. Some people like to have a boardwalk view because they like the bustle of the boardwalk, which is where the carousel is. It's also where the aqua theater is. And we could talk about those aqua theater suites as well. I got to tour one of those and I'm kind of in love with that. But the other nice thing is the boardwalk is at the back of the ship. So if you lean out of your balcony, you can still see the ocean, right? Yeah, so you do have a water view. But you still have that problem of if you go out in your pajamas, then your neighbor across from you will see you. And actually beside you, there's really no privacy on those balconies. Not really.
So no partitions.
There are partitions, but they're not full. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's very easy to just sort of chat with the person. So if you're traveling with friends, that's great. You know, you mm-hmm. can, you know, just chat, but...
Say hello to Mr. Wilson next door.
Exactly.
So tell me about the robot bar. How was that?
I love the robot bar. I do. It's so funny because part of the joy of a bar, other than the delicious drinks, is the bartender. You know, you get to strike up a conversation and you can talk about what you like to drink. So it's a different experience. And basically with the robot bar, you walk up and there's iPads on the tables. And you have lots of selections. There are non-alcoholic selections, so the kids enjoy it. And it's open, you know, pretty much all day. So my kids would make Shirley Temples, you know, or whatever. Then there are classic cocktails where you have your, you know, if you want a Manhattan or whatever, can make those. It doesn't do the frozen, like frozen daiquiris and stuff like that. It's purely a shaker kind of thing or stir.
I was a bartender.
Then they have their own, their signature cocktails that the robots make. And Alice and I each had one of those. They were quite strong. They were strong drinks. And then you can make your own. So if you have a drink that you like, what you do is you actually can build your own drink, kind of like building your own burger or whatever else. And you would say, okay, I want two parts of, you know, of soda and one part whiskey. But there are like limits to how you can, like, you can't just stack 7 ounces of liquor. You have to, you know, like that you have to have a mixer. There's like limitations on it. And they have fruit slices and things like that. So, you know, you can, you know, they'll toss a lemon or a lime into your drink. So, and it's really cool. There's two of them. So they, each side can make drinks and you get queued up and it shows you when it's making your drink and it tells you what it's adding. And so it's got a soda machine in the back where it's just like a soda machine where you go up and go, you know, and so it'll do the soda and then, it'll lift it up. And there's these, all the bottles, all the liquor bottles are on the ceiling. It looks almost like a chandelier or a light fixture when you look at it until you go up and you're like, oh, that's Jack Daniels and that's Hennessy. And so, and they've got these little turn knobs on it. So basically the robot can go up and measure out the amount. I'm doing all this visual stuff.
Oh, no.
and it's in a shaker and then, you know, and it creates the drink and then pours it into a glass. And it's at this long table where the robots are probably, I don't know, more than an arm's length for sure. Probably about 3 feet away from you. I'm terrible with distance. That's where they put the cup. And so in order to get your drink, you have to, you've, you, scan your RFID card when you order your drink, and then you have to scan your card in order to retrieve your drink so that they can be sure that you're 21 and that you're, it's your drink, that you don't go steal somebody else's drink.
Right.
So it's, it is, you know, and it slides. And so then once you scan your card, it slides it down this little almost conveyor belt thing to you and you can pick it up and walk away. So, and they're all plastic cups, so you can walk away with it. It's great. So on the Allure, there was hardly anybody there. They sort of tucked it away. It's not on the Oasis and the Allure. It's on the Quantum class, and then they've put it on the Harmony of the Seas.
Okay.
So when I was on the Quantum, it's tucked, it's, you know, on a higher deck, and nobody was ever in there. Now they've put it on the Harmony, they've put it in the promenade area, which is the main drag where all the big expensive shops are and the great pizza place and all of that. So it was hopping. Of course, I was also on a media and travel agent cruise. It was the naming ceremony. Mm-hmm. So I got to see them break the champagne bottle and all that, which was super cool. So the bars were hopping, you know, us travel agents.
It's all research. Yeah. It's all in the name of research.
Elizabeth, was the robots part of the naming ceremony? I thought I'd read something about how they were going to release this.
Yeah, they did. So what they did was the godmother of the ship, her name is Brittany, and I can't remember her last name, and I would have mispronounced it anyway. And she's a teacher in South Florida. They basically ran a contest, and she teaches with Teach for America, and they wanted to select a South Florida teacher to. So usually it's a celebrity or, you know, mm-hmm. princess or something like that. In this case, it's just a teacher. She's a, like 23-year-old. A beautiful girl. Yeah, I mean, it must have been super cool. And they had her push a button that then triggered the robot to hit a button that sent the champagne bottle, which was like about the size of me. It was huge, down the zip line, and it crashed against the side of the.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was pretty fancy. I didn't have privilege to sit. The main ceremony was in the Aqua Theater, and I didn't have an invitation to sit there. I think it was mostly media. And then there was there were people seated in the ice theater, in the ice rink. And then I was in the main theater, which actually was great, 'cause we got the drum corps. We also got John Cicada. Is that how you say his name?
Oh.
The bug. John Cicada, however you say his name. He sang the national anthem, and he was in the room with us. And then Grease, they did a number for Grease in the theater, so I was happy.
Is that their entertainment on the ship?
Grease is the musical. Mm-hmm. They also do a standard musical review called Columbus the Musical, which is your basic jukebox musical. They take pop music from throughout the centuries. They start with a bunch of modern stuff, and it's that cheesy, you know,
cruise ship entertainment
which we really enjoyed far more than we thought we would. The ice show is called 1886, I think, and it's a steampunk set in Paris kind of thing, and I really wanted to see it. They had some technical issues, and I only had two nights, so yeah. I just ran out of time. And then their aqua show is called The Fine Line, and with the high dives and everything, and that was mind-blowingly fantastic.
Yeah, their aerial shows are really cool.
Yeah, and this one with this aqua theater, I don't remember the aqua theater show that I saw before was very impressive. I remember a lot more high diving, but I don't remember any aerialists. But on the Harmony, they actually have wires running, so a lot of the show is actually aerial, where they come up out of the water and then go out over the audience. So I got dripped on by somebody who, you know, is flipping around after being in the water.
It's great.
And they will, if you sit in those first few,
sit there with your mouth open.
If you sit those first few rows, you will get splashed because they dance and they kick the water around. And
So tell us about the aqua suites.
So they're at the aft of the ship, the very rear of the ship, and they're on, I think, three or four decks, three for sure, maybe four. And the one I got to see is a two bedroom. And I really wanted to see this because if you think about it, if you're in the aqua theater, if you're right there, you have a balcony overlooking the aqua theater and the boardwalk, it must be really loud, right? But it's also an aft facing balcony. So you get that great ocean, you know, you get to see the wake behind you, which is a really little secret about cruise ships, is those aft balconies are fantastic. There's not very many of them, and they're usually oversized. You have an oversized balcony. So touring it, I was really excited to see that in the two bedroom, you come in to the suite and the bedrooms are right there on either side. And then you walk in and you have a living space, and then the balcony opens up. So your bedrooms are set so far back that it really diminishes the noise from the boardwalk greatly. And I happened to be there, because it was a special cruise, they brought DNCE, the band, on when we were in the Bahamas, and they did a concert that night. So they were doing their sound check while I was touring that. So I got to hear, I mean, they had the full, you know, drum kit going and everything. And when you were in the suite, even with the doors to the balcony open, when you were actually back in the suite, it was not loud at all. So, and it's a beautiful suite. It's a goal. That's a life goal right there. I want to stay in that suite. Mm-hmm. So, they sleep a fair number of people. I want to say the 2-bedroom would sleep 6, maybe 8. I'd have to look back at my notes. Because any suite has a couch that would fold out into a double bed. At least there's a version of the suite that does.
Next year I'm planning for a trip.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah. Yeah. I still don't think we can afford it.
What are the itineraries going to be? If we could afford it, where would we be going?
So I totally did not look this up before. And of course I only went to the Bahamas, but I think they do Eastern and Western Caribbean, if I'm not mistaken. I know they do Eastern. And it's a 7-night, Saturday to Saturday. So, and it's out of Fort Lauderdale right now. I believe the Oasis has moved up to Port Canaveral.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the Oasis has a shorter, like 5 nights.
Mm-hmm. They're doing some variations. So, and the Oasis and the Allura are still great ships. I think the key to like the Harmony has the zip line, just like they do. They have the 2 rock climbing walls. They have the 2 flow riders. One thing that the Harmony has that the Oasis and the Allura do not have, and that I've not seen on any other cruise ship, is I believe a 10-story slide.
Did you do the slide?
Called the Abyss. No, I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't, because it turns out that I have a mild concussion from something previously. So I really would have screwed myself up. But I did stand by the slide while people were going down it.
Now, is it water or?
No, it's a slide. You get you're in like a sack, mm-hmm. like a little mat. And the people coming down that slide sounded like they were being cut up into little pieces. They were screaming. They always came off smiling, but on the way down, it seriously sounded like a murder was going on. So I was completely happy to not do that.
Is that because they were going so fast, or?
And it's pitch black too, and it like swirls down from the deck that it starts on, and then it comes out on the boardwalk, and so you hear all the way down, and there's 2 of them, so a lot of people, you can actually go down, like you and your friends can go down simultaneously. Yeah, and everybody who got off, with the exception of some of the smaller children, were laughing at the bottom of it. But
were the children traumatized?
I think and actually they were filming a reality show while I was on, which incidentally I now know that I never ever want to do a reality show for sure. It looked just a horrible, with these camera crews following these people around. But the little girl was crying and the camera's just on her while she's sobbing, you know. So it's not my scene. But if I were on a 7-night, I think maybe by day 6, after a few good scotches, I probably could do it.
But
it would take me that long to work up to it. I mean, when I first got on, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then I really looked at it and I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. So, but I do, I can see where it would be very fun. And once I got my nerve up, I probably would enjoy doing it, but
it's funny how those things, when you're younger, that would appeal to you. The older you get, you're kind of like, nah.
Yeah, you're spot on, Lindsay. I totally agree.
Yeah.
There's things I would not have hesitated in my 20s to do that. And now I'm like, why the hell would I do that?
Because we're marching closer. As we get older, we're closer and closer to death. And we know it's right around the corner.
Right around the bottom
of that slide. I guess because it's a tube too, you know, I don't love tight spaces. So that, I know you're going so fast, it probably doesn't even feel that tight. But I was looking, I was like, maybe there's windows in it or something. I don't see any.
I'd be like, what if I got stuck?
Yes. Yeah, there's that too. So yeah, you can just imagine all sorts. So it looks terribly fun, and lots of people tried it. And I think it's definitely an attraction. And my daughter would do it 8 million times, I'm sure. So that's the big sort of. And then there's a couple of fairly large water slides as well. If you want to do that, and separate pool areas, big solarium area. What you were talking about, Laura, at the after the ship, that it's adult only, 3 decks. Of it. And all kinds of loungers, and I didn't explore completely. Seriously, 2 days is not enough time to see this ship. Yeah. I did go back there, and there's mostly hot tubs back there. If there was a pool, I didn't find it. I didn't get to it. But there's a cafe back there. And you know, they have those big round loungers like Laura was talking about that, you know, can seat two or three or maybe four if you're really cozy. And then, regular loungers and seats, and you're facing the rear of the ship. So, or no, it's this is at the front of the ship, excuse me, because the rear has the aqua theater. So it's at the front. So you get to see where you're going. So, and they have big windshields, you know, there's lots of glass there, and and parts of it are covered in case it rains as well.
So if you think about the size, if people have been on, like, you know, the Disney Dream or something, that's like a 4,000.
About 4,000, right. So almost twice, not quite twice the size.
Yeah. And if you've been on, like, the Magic, that's like a 2,500, 2,600. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are massive. And I toured the Allure, and I remember walking onto that ship, and you come in at the, I don't know if you're in Central Park, but there's all the stores.
You're in the promenade,
stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So it feels like you're in a mall.
Yes.
I mean, it does not feel like a ship to me. You know, you get to those parts, but it was incredible.
Yep.
Yeah.
And actually, like, the other thing is you can avoid areas that you normally, you know, have to walk through all the time, like the casino. Mm-hmm. I don't love walking through the casino because the smoking, it bothers me. There were a couple of times where we were sort of forced to go through there, but we could have gone another way. It just would have been longer. Mm-hmm. And honestly, we could have avoided the casino altogether, depending on where you to choose to eat. One of the great things about these huge ships are there are lots of specialty dining, options. And I definitely would suggest, if you're a foodie at all, I would suggest a package where you can eat at least a few specialty. We ate in the standard dining room. It was great. I mean, we had great service and all that, but you do sort of lose the intimacy of that, you know, having your waiter. That's one of the things that Disney does, is even though they let you experience a bunch of different restaurants, you have the same service staff. So you get that sort of, you do sort of miss out on that. Although we ended up seeing our waiter, we had the same waiter both nights because we chose to sit in the same place because it was open seating for us. And then we saw him again at breakfast. So we still, even in two nights, we connected to a server. And then the various restaurants, you have your different types of cuisine. There's a Jamie's on this one, which is Jamie Oliver's Italian restaurant. There's a Chop Steakhouse. There's a 150 Garden, which is on the other Oasis class ships, which is sort of their flagship, you know, fine dining. And my husband and I ate there on the Allure, and it was outstanding. Like, they bring out a little container with 10 different kinds of salt. Like, this salt is from Hawaii and this salt is from the Dead Sea. So yeah, we really enjoyed that. So lots of different choices for food.
There was some restaurant that you were eating at as you were getting on the ship, and I remember it was a deviled egg with blue cheese in it.
Oh, so Wonderland is on the Harmony of the Seas. They've taken some of the best things about the Quantum class and put them onto the Harmony. Mm-hmm. And Wonderland is one of the finest restaurants I've ever eaten at on the sea. And we all the specialty dining was invitation only, and I didn't get invited on this because, again, this was an event cruise. It was a media cruise, so they invited the press to these things. But we did have tastings where we could go around and sample, and they had these deviled eggs that were delicious. And then they also had this shrimp with, like, a pastry dough wrapped around it that was delicious. But Wonderland is sort of their molecular gastronomy kind of restaurant with sort of the, you know, things that look like when we ate there, we ate rocks and logs and, you know, that they weren't really rocks and logs, but, you know, it was like fingerling potatoes that looked like rocks. It looked like it was a riverbed. And the menu that they bring out is a blank piece of paper, and they bring you a paintbrush and a jar of water, and you dip the paintbrush in the water and paint the blank piece of paper, and the words appear. So it's an Alice in Wonderland kind of thing. That's a must do. If you go on a Quantum class ship or on the Harmony of the Seas, you must eat at Wonderland. There's a surcharge. Totally worth it. I mean, it's just a fantastical restaurant in every way. Yeah.
I want to go. Well, she was just in Europe, right?
Was in Europe, and I actually had clients sail on her, do a Barcelona to Barcelona tour. And I asked them what they thought because, you know, a huge ship when you're doing a port intensive, Mediterranean cruises are very port intensive. And they said, you know, we just didn't feel like we got as much out of the ship as we could have because we were on land all the time. Right. But she was there already. I think it made sense for them to go ahead and let her run Europe because then She had just been built, and so so she was basically sailing around before she was officially christened, which I should think is superstitious as seagoers are. Yeah, that's not ideal. But anyway, she's not going back next year. I don't think they have. Royal doesn't have a big ship in the Mediterranean next year.
Yeah, it is weird whenever the big ships go. I know I'm going to be on the Norwegian Epic in a couple weeks, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
Let's do an episode about that one.
Yeah, and the Epic is smaller and makes a little bit more sense to go to Europe. I don't know that I would want to do one of these. These big ships are made for the Caribbean, really. And
on my 7-night cruise, I'll have 3 days at sea. So, you get that when you do a 7-night in the Caribbean. You can do a lot of at sea. Do a lot more stuff.
Yep. And again, with all those restaurants, I mean, there's a hot dog place that does gourmet hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask, do they have that one? What is it called?
Isn't it called like Coney Island Hot Dogs or something like that? I don't remember.
It's not like Nathan's or something.
No, it's not a brand name, no.
Is there a Johnny Rockets?
There is a Johnny Rockets right next to the hot dog place. Okay. And there's a place called, we always confuse, but there's a Bolero's, which is the bar in the promenade that is sort of Mexican, Spanish themed. But then there's also like a tapas restaurant on the boardwalk. We tried to sample stuff there. We did finally get something, but they were constantly running out of samples. So it was very popular. So, yeah.
Tell me about the adult only water areas. Is there,
So yeah, that was those three decks. The Solarium is adult only, and it was mostly hot tubs. On other ships, there's usually a pool. I did not find it. It doesn't mean it wasn't there because I did not cover those three decks completely. So, and I seriously tonight, I'm so unprepared. I didn't bring any of my paperwork with the map of the ship or anything with me. So I'm talking off the cuff. But if there's a pool, it's a small one. But there's a cafe there, and there's several hot tubs like scattered around. So, and they are kid free. It's 18 and over only back there, so you won't get splashed by somebody in his little flippers.
Water wings. Winky's driving in.
Yeah.
So I know you said there's shows, but what else is there for nightlife for the 21 and older crowd? I mean, does the ship roll up at midnight?
No, there's plenty. And you know me, I'm an old fart, so I was in bed pretty early. Plus I got on right after I got back from Paris, so I still was messed up time wise but lots of bars to choose from, so different kinds of atmospheres. They'll run karaoke in one. They'll have a comedy show. They'll do maybe a mojito night in another one. They have a 90s night. They have an 80s night. They do all those things that a normal cruise ship would do, for nightlife. Again, no shortage of drinks. I mean, even if no bartender on board can make the drink you want, you can go to the robot bar and make it yourself. So very easy, to get around the ship. It's all, the technology is all RFID. So, very easy to get around. And maybe this is only for this cruise, I don't know, but because there's some higher end shops, they allow you to use your credit card. So if you had, one card tied to your shipboard account, but you didn't want to use that to buy, I don't know, the expensive purse that you might have, that I might have purchased because it's a purse. It's over there. It's blue. I didn't have a blue purse and it was on sale. So it's a Kate Spade. I didn't have a Kate Spade either. So you could put it on a different credit card. You didn't have to use your shipboard card, and you didn't have to do that guest services juggling thing where you put it on your shipboard and then you run over guest services and pay it with your other credit card.
God, that makes so much sense.
It does. And yeah, they had normal card readers, and it could use any kind of card. So yeah, of course, part of the beauty of being on a ship.
Do they have that bar that in the Oasis, there was a bar that moved up and down?
Yes, I forgot about that. There's so many things to do. I forgot. So there's a bar that actually starts in the promenade area, and then while you're drinking, there's a schedule for it. I think they don't necessarily tell you what it is, but they close the doors up, and then it's on lifts, and it goes up to the Central Park area, and your bar is in Central Park, and then you can
really mess you up.
Well, then you can leave. Yes. You can leave there, or you can get on there and you drink, and then it goes back down, and it's, so you get two different, cause the promenade is sort of a mall party kind of place. And then Central Park is this nice quiet, and Central Park it's a park, real trees, real plants. It's not, it's not a plastic thing. It's a real living garden. Mm-hmm. So yeah, really pretty and quiet.
Well, I'm really excited. I hopefully I'll get to try that out.
I highly recommend, if you love cruising, you should do one of these large ships at least once just to see what it's like. If nothing else, the food choices are just phenomenal. I mean, you can find a little bit of everything, and they do a chef's table. They do all the things that you would normally expect to find on the ship, and several pools, lots and lots of deck chairs. I mean, I'm sure on days at sea, it's still, you know, it can be difficult to find a deck chair, but we didn't have any problem finding one on our sea day. I don't think we were at capacity, but lots and lots of choices, lots of shade, big water park splash area for kids. So
did you tour the spa? I know you probably didn't have time.
I didn't. But Alice did go up there. She actually worked out. Good for her.
God bless her.
I actually worked while she worked out. So I suppose I was also, but she said that it was hopping and that it was very nice back there. I didn't, because I knew that if I went back there, I would stay for a massage and get my nails done and miss half of the ship. So I really wanted to see some shows, and I wanted to see the staterooms, because that's something that we don't get to do, you know, as travel agents. We only really get to do that when we do a ship inspection. Mm-hmm. It's pretty rare that we can,
yeah, you know, just wander into different suites around. Yeah. And stuff. Yeah.
So they had periods of time where they had suites open. And so I got to see, and Royal Caribbean does suites really, really well. Mm-hmm. So I got to go into the loft suites, two different kinds of loft suites. They also have a 2-bedroom suite that sleeps, I think 14 on.
Whoa. 14
people. So the two master bedrooms have like either a king size bed, or you could pull them apart for twins. And then there's two more bedrooms that have a lower bed that could be two beds or one, and then two bunks. So you could sleep four kids in each one of the two kids' rooms, I guess.
So double family kind of thing?
Yes. Yeah. And then, of course, you can sleep a couple more out on the sleeper sofa. And this ship has these staterooms. Well, they do have some single staterooms, which is, you know, Norwegian sort of pioneered this, and Royal has it on some of their newer ships. But so that there are a few single staterooms that were very nice. And then they have these family staterooms that sleep six, which was, and I went, there's an inside family stateroom, there's ocean view, and there's balcony. And they actually, when you walk in, there's bunk beds on the side with a curtain in front of them. So it's like a real, like a Navy ship berth almost, which my kids would love.
Mm-hmm.
And then a fold out couch, and then a bed that could be two beds. So six people. And honestly, it was a spacious, spacious stateroom. Cause that's the first thing you say to me is, I'm going to put six people in an inside stateroom. And I'm No, that's a very bad idea. But this was actually, you know, it's still one bathroom for six people, but lots of room.
Some of those people are tiny.
Well, yeah, and the smaller your kids are, the better off you would be. Yeah, and I will say there was no bathtub in there, because it's not a suite. So only the suites and up all have bathtubs, but so these family staterooms do not have bathtubs. So if you have a baby, you're going to be, you know, standing in the shower to take a bath.
How was the bathroom in the regular?
It was okay. Yeah, it was okay. It was okay. Yeah, you're not going to be able to go in there and go.
For the visual, she's stretching.
Yeah, but and the glass doors, you know, which I appreciate, not just a shower curtain that I bump into the whole time. And some of the suites, I mean, one of the loft suites had like a walk-in big rectangular shower.
Yeah, they have like baby grand pianos in their suites and stuff.
The suites are phenomenal. And some of the loft suites only sleep like four people. It looks like it should sleep 12, but it doesn't.
And one of the suites that you were in connected to another suite if you needed it to.
Yes.
Which I thought was kind of a neat option.
Yes.
If you do have like four families traveling together, they could.
Yep.
You know, they can be connected in that way.
Yeah. I noticed a lot of connecting staterooms, which is nice, on this ship. It seems like they really did gear for families. And honestly, those six person staterooms, you know, that were regular staterooms, I've never seen that on a ship before.
It's a family of five.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's really nice. And you know, a lot of my clients are families of five. We help a lot of larger families. And I even have some families of six with triplets and, you know, I didn't look at the pricing, but I think it's
otherwise you got to get two cabins,
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. So, And like I said, very spacious. And I did get to see an accessible stateroom, which I showed Laura. And it's nice. It's a lot of ramps in it. And I don't mean ramps like going way up, but, you know, going back out onto the balcony and things like that. But,
yeah, mini ramps.
Yeah, mini ramps. So, and then the big bathroom as well.
Hey, Elizabeth, if people are listening and they're thinking, gosh, you said there's a stateroom that held 14. Maybe I could do a girl's getaway. Is it, could a bunch of women be in that room, or would they be uncomfortable in some of the smaller beds?
If they like each other. No, the beds are actually quite comfortable. And as it turns out, I took an old friend of mine, an old college friend of mine on this trip. And she and I are close, but we generally don't choose to sleep together. And I was when I checked in, I put that we wanted separate beds, but the beds were together. And, you know, we didn't raise a fuss because, you know, I'm not that picky. And we were actually very comfortable. It's a queen size bed. And the one thing about Royal is their beds are sort of tapered at the ends. They're almost rounded off. So that looks like it could be uncomfortable, but, and I'm a tall person. It was actually, I got a really good night's sleep, both nights. So it helped that I was super tired, but, so yeah, I would say that yes, you could be very comfortable. I wouldn't do 14 women because remember in those rooms that sleep four, they're bunks, you know, and I'm too old for a top bunk. So if you've got some adventurous women who are willing to climb up onto a top bunk, but that's also four women in a room. My kids would love it, but yeah, I would say that probably the four of us would hate each other within 24 hours.
Oh my
hours.
God, that would be such a bad trip.
And I love you guys, but it would only take about 24 hours.
God, who would be on the top bunk?
Of course. And now that said, you would really only go in there to sleep. I mean, you know, that because there's lots of living space or
still,
whatever.
Who would be putting on the top bunk?
Yeah. Lindsay. Yeah. So, and because it's a suite, it comes with the Genie service, which is Royal Caribbean's butler service. And so it's pricey too. It's not, you know, you think, oh, I'm going to split it 14 ways. Well, but even, you know, your first and second passenger in there are pretty expensive. So it's still a pricey way to go. That's not saying it's not achievable. But it's not
just
the same
as worth tossing out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I mean, the balcony has a hot tub on it. So yeah, it would be a great, like a bachelorette party or, yeah.
I don't know, Sandy, I think we could do it. I mean,
well, only because we would do anything. We would sacrifice any amount of comfort for research.
Yeah.
Yes, I think you've proven that time and time again.
To be there.
Well, maybe one day when Outlander is 14 people big, we can talk about it.
But, oh, God.
Yeah, so, and they did, in one of those rooms, they had the lower beds pushed together, and I think you can still use the top bunks because you can get on them from the edge. So, but anyway, beautiful suites, you know, and a wide variety of rooms. Like Laura was saying, you really do need some guidance in selecting your stateroom because there's lots of different choices, lots and lots of categories.
Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, Laura, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.